What's the latest on the crew? Let's go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Brought to you by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Inside the clubhouse is brought to you by Focus Baseball, because fundamental development starts with focus. Find them at focusbaseball.com.
All right, first of all, shout out to iTammy, ITEd, and other IT Tom for fixing the phone thing.
Yes.
Is that who? Yep. I want to give credit to who gets credit.
It was
iTammy for breaking it.
Yep.
ITEd for starting the fix, and then iTom for finishing the fix.
Chicago Tom.
Okay, yep. Moneybags Tom.
Moneybags Tom.
Yep. Yeah.
Tommy Moneybags.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So good job on fixing part of our phone thing here at the station was broken. They fixed it. It's amazing. We'll find out if it's amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
Bad news, Tom. Another good one. He just never shows up when there's good news. It's just.
Well, when you're the guy who fixes things,
yep.
You don't generally show up when everything's fixed.
Or good news. He's usually fixing it. So yeah, it's good news at the end.
This is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee. We're in the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, and we are live on YouTube. That's at the Fan Milwaukee on YouTube. Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, is the biggest Chris Stapleton fan on the show, unless Tommy's some closet Chris Stapleton fan that I didn't know about. He is Mr. Drew Wagner. Hi, Drew.
Chris Stapleton is replacement-level country music. He is neither great nor is he awful. He's the Jim Gantner of country music.
Wow. Just like steady career.
Yeah,
long career,
you know,
steady,
Hall of
right?
Fame, not all-star, just, you know, gave you 10, 15 years, reliable. You knew what you were getting every time. That, to me, is Chris Stapleton. I would not skip him if he came up on my Spotify, but I would not waste a TouchTunes credit on him on a jukebox.
Wow.
We went over this. Drew had given me that the rating is, instead of war, it is YAR, Yeehaw's above replacement.
Okay.
So I had tried to ask him for YAR plus.
Like, oh.
Who's 100?
Right.
Who's average here?
And it's Chris Stapleton.
Sounds like we got to Chris Stapleton.
Yeah. Good morning, Milwaukee.
Good morning, Drew. How was your Harley Fest?
It was spectacular. I want to give a shout out to the folks that put it on. Friday sucked. It was awful. I think our weather folks made much ado about nothing and caused a bit of a panic that didn't need to be. But kudos to the organizers for getting the word out there, for getting everybody out safely and orderly, for giving out the refunds. And then kudos to the organizers for putting on one hell of an event on Saturday that really showcased our city in the best possible way.
Nice. I love that. And it's so much fun when our city is celebrated, because there is so much to celebrate. There's always so much going on, especially in the summer in Milwaukee and every weekend. I'm glad that was part of your weekend.
This is our segue. It's Saturday afternoon, right around, as I was waiting for like my main band to go on, Turnpike Troubadours.
Sure.
As soon as there's a lull in there, and that's right around when the Brewer game ended, and like there was literally a Let's Go Brewers chant breaking out.
Oh, that is so cool.
There were a ton of fans there. Like, I saw a ton of jerseys, people asking about Woody, high fiving about the Brewers. Like, there was some joy. And normally I hate joy and happiness and other people's pleasant existence, but, you know, I was kind of lost in the moment because the world's greatest band was in town, so I was enjoying the frivolity of happy Brewers fans.
The joy and the excitement is real right now, Drew. 56-40, 16 games over 500, 2.5 games out of the best record in Major League Baseball, tied for the fourth best record in Major League Baseball, 7 straight wins to go into the All-Star break, 23-year-old phenom on the All-Star team. Like, it is gumdrops and rainbows and unicorn poop everywhere.
Yeah, and I guess enjoy it these next 4 days, because it's about to get nasty. Like, it's going to be hard. The real work has just begun. Like, what they've done in the first half, it's pretty incredible. You think about how they started, 0-4, torpedo bats, just getting whooped up in every way imaginable. Horrible pitching, horrible defense, no offense. Every pitcher in them some was hurt. And now they've got one of the best starting rotations in all of baseball. They're going to have a logjam in the starting rotation. Like, it's incredible that they were able to do this, to do what they did. And then you have to step back and go, you know what? I mean, they could very easily be going in with 60 victories. They really could. And honestly, you could make the argument they should. They underachieved for, you know, at least the first six weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, no doubt about it. They gave some wins away. They should be going into this break well in command of the NL Central. And I think they know that. That said, you're opening up with three in LA against the Dodgers. And I said this with Tommy, man, they are going to be loaded for bear.
Yep.
I mean, they got smoked by the Brewers. They got swept. They were struggling. They're going to be rested. They're going to be healthy. And they're going to come out firing. So, yeah, it's great to say, look at this accomplishment, but the road's going to get harder. You know, you've got a bunch of games coming up with the Cubs. You've got some long stretches without a break. I mean, it is going to be a slog these last 2 months or so, and they've got to be ready for it. I mean, they cannot have those lapses and letdowns like they had early in the first half.
So, Drew, I know you're looking ahead, 96 games in, 66 to go. What can we celebrate over the past week? And I'm going to make you start with Andrew Vaughn.
I mean, definitely. And how can you not be happy with what he's done? I mean, the guy's been an absolute contributor. And again, something that I mentioned with Tommy, like, they're not looking for him to be, you know, Juan Soto or Aaron Judge. They're just looking at him to contribute. And it's the old cliche, keep the line moving, drive in runs, get guys over, that kind of stuff. And he does that very, very well, and he's done it very consistently. Now, at the same time, it's four games. Let's not get carried away here. You know, it's impressive, but it's still a very small sample size. Can he keep it going? Because they're going to need him even more, especially with Reese Hoskins out for a couple more weeks.
Absolutely. And what else has stood out to you over the past week that you think is transferable long-term for the next 66?
I mean, definitely the pitching. You know, that's definitely something that I see. I see Freddie Peralta improving. Yesterday was a very good performance. I mean, just kind of hoping that we'd finally see him get through the seventh for just the second time this season. The other stuff I'm not so sure of. I'm fairly confident the starting pitching will hold up. I'm fairly confident the offense is only going to get better. The thing that concerns me right now is the bullpen. Those guys have worked an absolute ton in the first half. They're going to need some rest. They're going to need some help along the way. They're going to need a fresh arm come deadline. But they're going to need that offense to do what they did yesterday, and that is put those tack-on runs in the late innings so you can sit down Trevor McGill. So you can, you know, hopefully avoid your late inning high leverage guys. That's the one thing that concerns me most going down the stretch. They have got to put on the tack on runs and extend the lead and rest that bullpen.
Yeah, I was looking at it, and Abner Uribe tied for he has the third most appearances in Major League Baseball, and I think Koenig just one or two games behind him. So obviously using those high leverage seventh and eighth inning guys a lot. And even like Friday night, I was at the game Friday night and they're up 8-3 and Uribe gets up in the eighth inning. And I like, me and my buddies were like, why is he warming up? Why isn't there somebody else warming up? And it's like, obviously it's easy to nitpick how you manage a bullpen. Just like it's easy to nitpick, but why was he up?
That is a concern. And there's a phrase that is used for getting a reliever up and not using it. I'm not sure if it's PC to say, but it involves something you do as a teenager.
Sure. Yep.
You know, so yeah. And the young, astute, intrepid reporter, Jack Stern, has been tracking this thing for the last couple of weeks, and it's a lot. And that adds up too. You know, those guys are out there and they're getting loose and they're getting hot. You know, it's only like 60-70% effort, but it's still, it's work. And, and when you're trying to preserve arms and preserve freshness, that becomes a factor. So yeah, I've been, I wonder about that too. You mentioned Uribe the other night. I mean, you look at the time, the number of times that, that he has Jared Kane getting up, that he has Uribe getting up, that he has, you know, Anderson getting up, that he has Mears getting up.
Yep.
Like those guys, they're going to get tired. You know, that's good. That adds up after a while.
So does this All-Star break reset everybody? Like, is it just like,
I mean, hey, yeah, everyone's reset. Everyone, you know, they're getting 4 days off. I mean, obviously McGill's going to go out there and probably work on Tuesday, but he's still going to have 2 days before he comes back. Like everyone's reset going into the second half, but you know, that doesn't last very long. I mean, how many straight games do they have coming out of the break? They only have seven coming out of the break. 3-4 or 3-6, something like that.
Okay.
So, you know, it's okay early on, but they, especially they've got that stretch coming up now with the doubleheader in Chicago where I think it's like 18-17.
That's a 5-game series, right?
Yep. Yep. So you want to have, you want to have as fresh arms as possible going down the stretch, because we know that it's bullpen. Bullpen is what gets you in the playoffs. Bullpen is what gets you through the playoffs. You can't be burning these guys out early. We saw it last year with Brian Hudson. You know, look at how he changed. He was lights out going into the break, and then that velo started to drop. We're seeing it a little bit with Nick Mears. You know, his velo and fastball effectiveness going down a little bit. And he's got secondary pitches to work with, but this stuff adds up. And that's my biggest concern. Can this bullpen hold up over the final 66 games with the workload they've been carrying? Part of that has to do with the starters. The starters need to go deeper, and the offense has to be able to cash in on those opportunities.
Absolutely. Drew Wagner joining us here on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law on the Fan. Your reaction to Mizorowski making the All-Star team?
I'm torn on it. You know, I agree with the argument that 5 games should not warrant an All-Star burst. At the same time, MLB has been absolutely horrible at marketing itself, at marketing its young talent, at promoting the game. If the stories are true and they went through a handful of pitchers who all declined and settled on Miz, great. You know, that's, you want to grow the game, that's how you do it. So from that aspect, I see why they did it. To those who say 5 isn't enough, I see that, and I agree. I think both things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
He's got too small of a sample size to merit an All-Star berth, but he's enough of a intriguing hype prospect where it makes sense to put him on the roster if others said no.
I think that's fair, and I think that we discussed that as well. I also said earlier in the show, I don't know that I would bet a lot of money on it, but I would bet money that he does not pitch on Tuesday. That whether it's, you know, and more often than not, you'd see, now Skeens last year obviously started, but a lot of times, guy making his first All-Star appearance or a rookie, something like that, a lot of times they don't get in the game. And so I would bet a small amount of money, not a big amount of money, that he does not pitch Tuesday night. Do you think that's true?
Were I the investing type, I would go down to Pottawatomie Sportsbook and probably take those odds. At the same time, I could easily see Dave Roberts turning to him in the ninth inning to protect like a, you know, 10-9 lead, like closer Miz. That would be something. That'd be a sight.
That would be. That'd be a lot of fun. The question is, does Dave Roberts want to freeze out the rookie, or does he want to use him up so that he's not
exactly
fresh this weekend in
he's
L.A.?
Put him out there and start him and make him pitch 7 innings.
Oh, that'd be
amazing. Blow his arm out.
That would be just absolutely unbelievable. That'd be so Dave Roberts of him. So L.A. Dodgers. Yeah, we need something. We already have something to complain about the Phillies. We need something to complain about the Dodgers as well, I think. So
I can't hate on the Dodgers. Yeah. They spend a boatload of money, but it's not like they go out and are total a-holes about it. They're not. Right. I mean, the guys on that team are so likable. I mean, Freddie Freeman, how can you not like him? How can you not like Mookie Betts? How can you not like Shohei? Like, okay, I get it. They've got God's money they're playing with, but they go out and they sign good dudes.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree, and I feel the same way. About those guys, at least, not about the organization in general, because they sign everybody. But I've always been a Freddie fan. Obviously, I've always been a Mookie fan. So with this week of no Brewers games, Drew, what do you got on your schedule? What's on your docket, Mr. Andrew Wagner?
A lot of steel toes, a lot of power tools. There's no rest for the weary. It's blue collar bastard kind of week.
You got any open windows for to look at maybe a winter project of like putting in some shelving, some shelving into a bathroom or something like that maybe this week?
I'll have my receptionist reach out to you and we'll schedule some time. We can make that happen.
Am I Drew's receptionist?
You're Drew's something.
Okay. I've tried to be like, you know, Drew Wagner more and more every day. I think I have too much happiness, but when he says receptionist, I feel like I'm defaulted there.
I'm gonna have people start calling Tommy to book me for home improvement.
Amazing. I love that. That would be unbelievable. Tommy, is Drew available Tuesday afternoon at 2?
Yeah, we'll have to check the concert schedule for the week every week. I know Drew's nice. Obviously got to look into that. Drew, what other storylines do you think we should be looking out for on the Brewers for All-Star break weekend? Week, rather. I mean, is Miz the biggest storyline? I mean, Freddie probably not going to get in the game, obviously. I don't know if McGill, they got to get one of them in there somewhere. But any other storylines here that we should be looking out for, Brewers, during All-Star week?
The goal is to not hear anything about your players during All-Star break, because chances are if they're making the news during the All-Star break, something bad's happened. So I think the storyline to watch is no storyline, man. You know, just rest up, go fishing, relax, be with the family for 4 days. Everyone reports to L.A. and goes from there. I think that's the storyline that you want.
I like that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm here for that. I'm here for... and then do you think will trade rumors ramp up at any point this week or next week regarding the Brewers? Do you see anything on the horizon?
It's hard to say. I don't know. Listen, I see everyone on Twitter yesterday. Go out and get a bat. Get us two bats and let's win this thing. What bats? You know, what does that mean? Like, Aaron Judge is not available. Juan Soto is not available. Nolan Arenado is not going to end up with the Brewers, because the Brewers are not going to ship a bunch of prospects to one of their top rivals. Suarez, okay, maybe, but we've talked about how streaky he is. I don't know if the big bat that everyone is clamoring for is out there in a way that makes sense. I don't expect anything to come out in the next week or two. Maybe as we get closer to the deadline, you'll start hearing more rumors, but I honestly don't know which direction the Brewers are going to go.
Well, we will all be in that boat together, Mr. Drew, and finding out what's going on. Enjoy your All-Star week. Enjoy your break from games, at least. I know that we're going to keep putting you through the ringer on with Sparky and with us on Thursday, so thank you for being available, and get to work.
Sounds good, brother. We'll talk to you Thursday.
All right, thanks, bud. That's Andrew Wagner. Follow him on Twitter at @byandrewwagner, B-Y, by Andrew Wagner. He writes for Forbes Sports. He's also our Milwaukee baseball insider and our resident fence builder. Our resident, he could do some auto mechanic
work. I'm going to try something again here. I don't want it to be. There we go. That was Drew's view of Turnpike Troubadours.
Oh.
He's very excited to see him there, but it looks packed, as you can see. So.
Yeah, I saw some pictures from some drones from Saturday night, and it was like, I mean, it was, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people down at the lakefront enjoying Harley Fest, which is the way, you know, if we're going to be the city of festivals, let's lean into it. Let's be the city of festivals. And I think we did that this weekend. I think we, you know, Milwaukee absolutely showed off. Unfortunately, there was weather Friday night. That was a bummer. Smartly, we have a roof on our baseball stadium because we were watching the Lightning like through the window over the first base stands, and the Lightning was real. Like there was Lightning out there for sure, and it was great that we could just watch baseball. And then of course Yelich and Vaughn both homer, and it's just like
It's awesome.
It's just a big party. What did you think of the DL Hall start? Because I was, you know, we had talked about it on the show on Friday, like Quinn Priester during the day, Quinn Priester was scheduled to start. Now we've seen this, and I think it didn't surprise me knowing that the Nationals have two all-star level lefties at the top of their lineup, and then another former all-star batting third. They do lead off with three lefties.
Yeah, I actually love the opener strategy.
It in general, just, or when necessary?
I mean, it's just so, like, Bush sounds like the wrong word, but it's so minor league, summer ball. Like, it just gives that vibe of, hey, we're doing everything we can to win, and it's something that is maybe a little foreign to a baseball purist's idea with, you know, pitchers going less and less innings, and you want to see starting pitchers get into the seventh inning, like Drew said there with Freddie. But I love it because it reminds me of some of the teams that I've worked for on their strategies of just, hey, we're going to have this guy start things off, and then we're going to go right to our closeout guy afterwards. And it's worked really well in a couple of moments for the Brewers. And you brought up that Phillies series. You remember that's where they really saw it go to fruition, is DL Hall comes in and then 18 outs or what, you know, 15 ground ball outs from Quinn Priester in that game for the last six innings. When it works perfectly like that, it is just something that it feels like makes the Brewers different. And I am all in on that idea as well, because you got to be different to get to the top.
At first, I was a little taken aback just because I think I was expecting Priester out there. But then when I thought about it, again, if DL Hall, the lefty, is getting through, even if he gets through 12 hitters in three innings, which means he's giving up a couple hits or a couple walks or whatever, it means Abrams, Wood, and Bell, who are all lefty hitters, one, two, and three.
And Lowe. Even. And
is Lowe a lefty?
Lowe's a lefty.
Okay, so even if he gets through 13 guys, well, eight of those 13, the top four guys in the first, and then whenever he faces them, whether it's the second or third, are lefties, and you like those matchups. You like those matchups, and it's not going to be, listen, if they had four righties on the top of the lineup, Murph's not making that decision.
Right.
If it's four righties to start the game, Priester's starting the game. But when the Nationals have that, and I don't know what the MLB rule is for, like, when you need to announce you're making that swing. Like, I don't think you can have Priester listed as the starter the entire time and then just have Hall show up.
Yeah, I think it's like a few hours before the game you have to have some. And usually, I know Murphy had, who's the manager? Is it Rob Thompson of Philly? Does that sound right?
He was
the guy who replaced Joe Girardi. It's still the same guy, right? But I remember when they had pregame sound sent over to us that he had called like Rob Thompson beforehand. Hey, I'm going to do this, right? So there is, like, Murphy does have that gentleman's agreement, at least when he does plan to do it, when maybe the probable is listed a couple of days earlier. Hey, I'm going to do this before lineups are final if you want to switch your lineup up kind of thing. He does offer that courtesy. But I also think that, again, formulating that idea of maybe DL Hall's the guy who gets replaced now when Nestor Cortez comes back, it does get Quinn Priester a little more comfortable coming out of the pen. And I know that Quinn Priester has the idea already that he knows he's going to be the first guy out of the pen in those opener situations. But still, even just being able to develop a routine to come in the middle of a game as opposed to starting a game, that might be very important for Quinn Priester if he is the guy that ends up ultimately going to the pen. Again, I do think that we talked about it with Drew. It's ideal that maybe Quintana or Cortez are one of the guys that gets moved at the deadline so that they can make room for Priester to come back into that rotation. But for the time being, Nestor has to go out and prove that he is worth anything or has some value in the trade market. He has to come back and start some games.
Again, we looked at Quinn Priester as a starter versus as a reliever. His relief, he's 3-0 as a reliever. His ERA is still over 5. Because he had that horrendous Cubs situation where he just gave up eight runs.
That was the Tyler Alexander opening game.
Yes, it was, where it was just like that one went brutal. But as a starter, he's 4-2 with a 2.90 ERA.
He's so good.
So you look at him. You look at what Quintana's done. You know, we know Freddie. We know Mizorowski. Who's the fifth starter? And Woody right now.
Yep.
I mean, like, and then when they get Cortez back, We don't know what we're getting back in Cortez.
A three-game series in the playoffs of Peralta, Miz, Woody is, I mean, toe-for-toe with anyone in baseball.
Well, and I think even if you add Quintana to that and have four and go four guys, because you're not pitching Mizorowski on short rest, and you're not pitching Woody on short rest.
Right.
The situation that the Brewers are in this year, they do not have three guys that you can just throw out there. They need to be careful with Woodruff. They need to be careful with Mizorowski. Freddie can go extra. I think even Quintana probably could go extra because it's not like he throws hard,
yeah,
and he's done it before.
He could be a six-inning guy for sure.
Right. But I think even with that top four, I don't think anybody's matching that top four.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So we will see what happens there. Weekend review, weekend recap. And I'll look at the week ahead coming up here. We're going to go hard into Wimbledon because that's where Tommy wants to go. He cannot wait. All right, just kidding.
Finally over.
Yeah, finally. The long breakfast of the summer is over. Right? Breakfast at Wimbledon? Isn't that a...
No? It felt like it was dinner time.
It was only breakfast, bro.
First app, second app, seven-course meal.
11 like, Z's.
Right. It was just anything you saw, it was Wimbledon.
We are the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee. We're in the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Again, our thanks to Drew Wagner for jumping on. He was on the Fan Guest Hotline, provided by Gruber Law. One call, say it with me, that's all.